Good morning. Thank you for tuning into this program today. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says there, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Teach us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We hear words like this in church, right? Growing up. For example, end quote, "That clothing is worldly. That hairstyle is worldly. That music is worldly." And we hear that all the time. And I believe that we should give a reason as to why we think that those things are worldly. All right. Sometimes those statements are vague, and it shouldn't be. God is not vague with the reasons for his rules. We must always study out the origin of a certain trend in the world, because look, everything that's in the world does have an origin, except God. God was always there. Amen. For example, God gave the reasons to his command in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. It says there, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God told Adam what will happen to him if he disobeyed, and not just the command. Another example is God given the reason why it's not permitted to marry pagan wives. All right, let me stop right there. So basically what I'm trying to say is, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God told Adam, "Don't eat from the tree. If you do, you will surely die." He died. When he did, mankind now, because of him, are dead spiritually. That's separation from the Lord. And if they don't ask Jesus to save them, which is, you know, "Dear Lord, save me, please," you know, they're going to hell. And that's eternal death. Okay? Or Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," right? And because of that, you're spiritually separated from God, and there's a payment for that. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But it doesn't have to end there, guys. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Calling him to be saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, continuing on. God told Adam what will happen to him if he disobeyed. He didn't just tell him the command, he told him the reason. Another example is God given the reason why it's not permitted to marry pagan wives. Marrying pagan wives will draw a man away from God and toward idols. In 1 Kings 11, verse 2, it says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, nor shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. That's pagan gods, little g. Solomon clave unto these in love." That's the woman. Solomon didn't listen. He married the wrong type of woman. He had 1,000 women. And because of that, these women are pagan. And because of that, he started serving false idols. So God gave both the command here in this verse that we just read in 1 Kings 11, 2, and he gave the reason. He said, look, if you marry pagan wives, it's only a matter of time before you start doing pagan practices. Okay, so let's stop there. Guys, I am for biblical principles. There are many principles in the Bible, right? Okay, well, how come it's wrong to drink alcohol and booze? Well, my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. How come I can't just fornicate out there and have sex with every woman I see? My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. How come I can't just put any drug into my body? My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. How come I can't mark my body with tattoos? My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. That's a principle, guys, right? And a lot of people will come out and say, yeah, we have, bless God, we have standards. You have to preach with just a white shirt on. You have to, you're not allowed to wear wired rim glasses. You should only wear this certain color tie. And don't wear open-toed shoes. We have to have standards. The moment we lose our standards is when we start changing our doctrine. Okay, but sometimes the standards that people have, they're not a biblical principle. You see, a standard for some is an opinion that's not backed up by the word of God. Now, if you have standards that is related and backed up by the word of God, well, that's a biblical principle that you stand by. And that's a wonderful thing. But the moment we start coming off with these weird standards that are not in the Bible, we're in trouble. Okay, we have our standards now. We have our standards. All right. You know, there was a dumb standard that was at Pensacola Christian College where kids weren't allowed to have headphones on the campus. Right. I understand if class is going on, that's different. But they're listening to rock and roll music. If that person can't make a decision on their own to not listen to the right type of music, that standard is not going to help. You have to draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's your choice. And if you don't want to listen, that's your fault. Okay. And a lot of these standards, these standards that are not biblical, they push people out of church. And let me tell you a dumb standard that I'm hearing preachers say. And yes, it's dumb. It's stupid. All right. Is men should shave their beards. Okay. Where is that in the Bible? Preachers should shave. It's not in the Bible. Now, I believe, you know, I think you should trim it and make it look nice and neat. That's just my opinion. Okay. That's just my opinion. Right. That doesn't mean if you just leave it long as can be, that's fine. Because guess what? The Bible doesn't say you have to cut your beard. The Bible says you have to cut your hair. You know, it's a shame unto a man to have long hair, you know, down to your shoulder blades and all this kind of stuff, right? That's a dumb, I mean, you know, you got a guy that's searching for the Lord coming to church and all he hears from you is you should shave your beard. And then I heard one preacher say, that's what men do. They shave. Come on, man. I mean, come on. Seriously? Come on, man. So let's look for, when you read the Bible, look for a biblical principle you can place your life on, because it's obeying God. Okay. I hope I make sense. I really do. Okay. So anyway, one practice a Christian can adopt is to know how the God of this world thinks and what his message is. The God of this world is Satan. And we just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go back to it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men which believe not. Okay. The God of this world is Satan, and he promotes any type of disobedience to God's commands. God said in Leviticus 19:28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. God says no marks on the body, and that includes tattoos. The God of this world, however, promotes tattoos as something cool through messages. This is why we could call rap music, rock and roll, and country music worldly, because it promotes Satan's message of popularizing tattoos. And it does. You got these rock singers up there, they're tattooed from head to toe, and especially these rappers, they got the tattoos all over the face now, and all over their bodies. What message are they sending? Have sex with everybody you see. Fill up my cup with alcohol. The Bible says wine is a marker, a strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived is thereby not wise. Woe unto the man that giveth his neighbor strong drink. So that's a message of the world. That's a message of the world. Okay, so God says make no marks. God says no marks upon the body. The God of this world promotes tattoos as something cool through his messages. This is why we could call rap, rock, country music worldly, because it promotes Satan's messages of popularizing tattoos. The message of the world is this. This is the message of the world. Do opposite of what God says. So the title of this message is, what does it mean to be worldly? Okay, that's it. It's to be worldly is anything. What did I just read? Oh yeah, to be worldly is to accept anything that opposes God. That's the message of this world. To do opposite of what God says. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to the messages of this world, which is to disobey God's Bible. Even these modern Christian music videos will show a man with long hair or dressed like the God haters. For what? Come on. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Therefore, these so-called Christian videos peddle a message that disobeying God is okay. Therefore, that music is worldly. Remember, any message that promotes behavior opposite of what God says is a message from the God. Is a message from the God of the world. That's Satan. All right. Another message that the God of this world promotes is rejecting the existence of the true. The God of this world promotes is rejecting the existence of God. All right. So, hey, you know, anytime you have opposition to what God says, that type of teaching or doctrine is from the God of this world. That's Satan. One day he's going to be tossed out, evicted from this planet. Okay. You know, Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. We know that there is a God and serve him with our heart, just as Mark 12:30 states. Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The fool knows there is a God, but in his heart defies God. How do we know the fool knows there is a God? Well, Romans 1 says, every creature knows there is a God and some reject God. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. The Bible says that God maketh it to rain on the just and unjust. So no one's thankful. You know, thank God that I'm awake enjoying the rain. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So a fool knows God exists, but defies him with his heart. Here's a definition of a fool, or one of the definitions of a fool, according to the Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary. In Scripture, fools are often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral department. One who follows his own inclinations. Whoops. Something popped up on my notes. Where was I? Inclinations. Who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. Wow. You know, so sometimes for some people, they don't want to get saved because they want to enjoy temporary pleasures. I mention this to show how those who defy God look. Study their outward appearance. Study their outward appearance. What do they say? Do people who defy God blaspheme God? Yeah. Does their dress signify rebellion and reject moral decency? Yeah. If yes, it is because they are blinded by who? Satan, the God of this world. Let's read it again before we close. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Let's pray. God, please teach us. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.